listening to Patty Pigskin with Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings.
Hello and welcome to episode 52 of Patty Pigskin. I'm your host, Gary Somerville. It's our first episode of 2019, so Happy New Year. I hope you all had a great holiday period, whatever holiday you were celebrating. I hope you had a great time with your family and friends, drank loads, ate loads, and we're back for the new year talking football. I have Barry Yoon with me. We are going to be discussing the recent firings of all the different head coaches in the NFL. There were 8 of them over the last few weeks. We are also going to recap our divisional rankings predictions that we did before the season. We got some right, we got a lot wrong, but shit happens. That's just the way the NFL is. So we'll digest those, and then we'll preview the wild card weekend games coming up over the weekend. And yeah, I sound a little bit snotty at the moment. Not feeling the best, but we missed recording. It's been a few weeks, so we're back. Episode 52, Patty Pigskin. Let's get after it. Say congratulations. Work so hard, forgot how to vacation. They ain't never had the dedication. People hate and say we changing, look, we made it. Yeah, we made it. Our player dedication for episode 52 is, of course, linebacker Ray Lewis, born in Bartow, Florida in 1975. Played his high school ball and wrestled at Kathleen High School in Lakeland, Florida. He went on to play his college ball at the U of Miami. He was an immediate contributor on defense and was an All-American as a freshman. He decided to forego his senior year to enter the NFL and was drafted 26th overall by the Ravens in 1996. And he was their second ever draft pick as a franchise behind offensive tackle Jonathan Ogden, who was drafted 4th overall. He would go on to play 17 seasons with the Ravens and went to an astounding 13 Pro Bowls, with 7 first-team All-Pro nods. He was a 2-time Defensive Player of the Year in 2000 and 2003. He also won 2 Super Bowls with the Ravens, Super Bowl 35, unfortunately, against my Giants, and Super Bowl 47 against the 49ers. But we won't talk about the deer antler spray. That's a story for another day. He's also part of the NFL's 2000s All-Decade team, and he was enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame just last year with his teammate Jonathan Ogden. So episode 52, linebacker Ray Lewis. This episode is dedicated to him. So I'll have Barry here with me. Let's get cracking with this week's episode of Patty Pigskin. All I wanna do is go out trapping with the shoes. Wrist game froze, you should see the way we do it. Sexy little bitch, you throwing titties at the window. You from out of town, but you know what we get into. All I wanna do is go out trapping with the shooters. Wrist so froze, you should see how I maneuver. Shorty say she down and up and flex with all the shooters. Shorty, are you down to get ahead of all my shooters? Have Barry back with me for our first episode of 2019. Barry, Happy New Year. How are you, man?
Happy New Year to you as well. Doing well. It's a rough transition always going from Florida to Boston when you come back for the New Year's.
So you were down there for the holidays. How warm was it? Or do I even want to know?
It was 75 and sunny, so close to like 28 Celsius.
Okay.
If I'm getting that right.
way warmer than it was in Dublin, Ireland anyway, where I was. But you had a good time anyway. Did I hear you had the dogs down with you and all, did you?
Yep, flew down with the dogs, great time. And it was nice to be around. The delight in the city to get the 5th pick and lose a game was tangible.
So we're about back into the real world now, back into work. But we're also back podcasting, and we are also back with some new beers. It feels like forever since we've done a beer review on the podcast.
And for those who can't see this, obviously, he's holding what looks like a mini wine bottle.
Yeah, this bottle's fucking massive. But we're going to have one each. So it is from the Mayen Beer Company in Freeport, Maine. My other half, Lauren, actually got these for us, which is very nice of her. She said, you have these on the podcast. She's a big DJ Khaled fan, so they are called Another One. So we're going to have one each, Indian Pale Ale. Do what's right. Drink this beer fresh. It's nice and cold. What's the percentage on it?
It says
7%. Decent. Right, we'll crack these open. Hang on.
But this is also a full pint.
Yeah, it is. So. Yeah. Yeah, so we're going to be quite merry after this, yeah, which we probably need it now going back into work after the Christmas break. We are
in all of our playoff hopes for our real life teams too.
We're going to start off our chatter on this week's episode with the coaches that have been fired. So 8 coaches, a whopping 25% of NFL coaches have been fired at some point throughout the season. We'll get on with the first one. The first one was Hugh Jackson. He had been the Browns head coach for 2.5 seasons. He had a miserable 3-36-1 record. He was, of course, fired after the Week 8 loss to the Steelers. Greg Williams took over there as the interim head coach. In fairness to him, he went 5-3.
Yep.
With rookie QB Baker Mayfield had really impressed. So it was inevitable, really. You even said it on the podcast at the start of the year.
No, you watch them lose games they shouldn't. And again, it's the classic reason. You're looking at the playoffs right now. The Browns should be in the playoffs, which is hilarious to say. It's like, but the Browns could have won the division had they just had a better coach this season.
And you even said, I was actually listening to, because we're going to recap our divisional previews, but I was actually listening to your points on Hugh Jackson. You were like, they're going to lose some games due to bad clock management and bad coaching decisions, and you're exactly right.
The first 2 games of the season.
Yeah, so they really could be on double digit wins had Hugh Jackson been a better coach.
It's insane.
So that is going to be an attractive job, I would say, because they're loaded with talent.
It's the first time in our lifetime we can say this. It is the most attractive head coaching job this offseason.
They're trending
upwards.
More than
the Packers, more than anyone. It's the most attractive. Is that you think of your franchise positions, quarterback, running back, defensive end. You have all the guys on rookie contracts.
Yep.
And
so you can bring in a few free agents with the cap room.
Do you know how much cap room they have?
Probably about 80 million or something.
Probably 120.
Fucking hell.
And you have all that insane cap space. It's just, it's so scary of how good that team can be.
So you reckon players are going to be looking at that team going, that's a place that we want to play in 2019?
I don't even care if they are. They can overpay for a few guys.
Yeah.
Give a guy like a 1-year $20 million contract if you really want to bring in a receiver. Pay Le'Veon Bell to come in and make like a Nick Chubb, Le'Veon Bell combo. Trade for Antonio Brown. Do for a lot of crazy shit if you want. You
can't imagine
anything.
Can't imagine them trading them to a division.
No, they definitely won't.
Maybe Odell would go down there to be with Landry.
But again, like if you're sitting there and like the Browns are going to say like we'll throw in, you know, like some like prize prospect and our first rounder next year for Odell, you're going to tell me the Giants wouldn't listen right now?
I think they would listen, yeah, because Mara has come out a few times and said, look, he needs to shut the fuck up and play ball and just stop with the other demons.
Well, thank God he listens.
The second one, bit of a surprise, but I don't know, the writing was on the wall, really. Mike McCarthy, he was fired mid-season. That was after the loss to the Cardinals in Week 13.
First mid-season Packers firing in 50 years.
Was it? Yeah. Jesus. And his record was considerably better than Hugh Jackson. 125-77-2 in the regular season. Obviously won the Super Bowl in 2010. Made the playoffs 9 times with a playoff record of 10-8. In 13 years as a head coach and offensive coordinator, Joe Philbin had taken over as an interim there. So you said that in this case now, the Packers job isn't as attractive as the Browns job.
Of the 8, it's probably the second or third most attractive, depending on how much you like the idea of grooming a rookie QB or not. But with Rodgers being 35, with the injury history that's going on right now, and frankly, with the team just having a lot of holes in it and not a whole lot of cap room to solve that.
Mm.
It's not the greatest situation. Again, all of it becomes better by the idea if you get a healthy Rodgers and a motivated Rodgers, everything is easier.
Yeah.
And few coaches get to start off with a combo of Rodgers to Davante Adams, like this job would present. But you almost wonder if they want the opposite, whereas like with Baker, you want him to have a young, like Sean McVay mold guy
who's
going to really take that offense to the next level and unleash Baker. With Rodgers, you almost want to have a like stern defensive coach and a good offensive coordinator. Like really get that other side of the table where they spent all of those draft picks into shape.
Yeah.
And then get a guy who can just work with Rodgers the right way to say you can manage the offense.
Sure. Yeah, makes sense. So yeah, that's another big job that's up for grabs there in Green Bay. Next we have, this was expected rather. Todd Bowles fired as the Jets head coach after their week 17 loss down the road in Foxborough to the Pats. He went 24-40 in his 4 years with the Jets. Narrowly missed the playoffs in 2015.
Yep.
It's been 14-34 though over the last 3 years, and that's the Jets' worst stretch since 1994 to 1996. This is another attractive job, I think, because they've got that rookie quarterback with Sam Darnold, and it's the New York market, which is kind of a high-profile gig anyway. So, yeah, Bowles is gone. They're probably going to have some high-profile names. I think Mike McCarthy was even mentioned as one of them, was he?
I know, but, like, this is the problem we're going to run into with all these, is that there's kind of, like, two sets of, like, coaches that everyone's going to be looking at, like, in a every year kind of sense, which is your big-name NFL coaches who are let go. Let's see if they want to go back. We're going to talk about this with Adam Gase.
Yeah.
And your hotshot college coaches, the next breed, who can really be interesting. The problem we're running into this offseason is we have a quarter of the league without coaches and no good options, which is we're having coaches who got fired. Like, Mike McCarthy is a great name. If Mike McCarthy was the head coach of the Giants, we'd be particularly pumped. That's the reaction. It's like, I'm sure he'll get a lot of stuff done. He's not the guy who I expect to turn around my franchise, is my point.
Yeah,
I think he's really good at writing the ship, really good at, like, keeping it afloat. I don't think of him as in the mold of a Sean Payton, Bill Belichick. He's going to carry my franchise and really instill a way.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the issue. So if we say we don't like the current crop, then we say, well, what about the college coaches? Because clearly we have to like them. Well, Lincoln Riley for Oklahoma just signed an extension. So he's gone.
Yeah.
Pat Fitzgerald from Northwestern, who's rumored to be taking the Packers job, says he's not interested. And David Shaw from Stanford, who they keep trying to get to come back, just says he doesn't want to.
His name is always
in the
mix.
Just says he just doesn't want to. And as a result, you get to a hard spot now where, like we said, a quarter of the league needs coaches. I don't know if there's a great candidate for anyone beyond, like, pulling offensive coordinators from current teams, like Todd Monken from the Bucks or Josh McDaniels from the Pats or Eric Bieniemy from the Chiefs. Like, those are great names.
Mm. Do you reckon that's a job that Josh McDaniels wouldn't mind working with Aaron Rodgers?
There's rumors about it, but again, like, it's the classic, like, didn't we all think he was going to just take over the Pats because he came back?
Yeah.
So who knows?
Yeah. But he has been reaching out, or his agent has been reaching out for potential interviews.
Yep.
It could be just for the sake of interviewing.
I know. The hard part is,
and then eventually take that Pats job.
This is, like, the stake in the ground I would put is, like, there's going to be 8 coaches hired, obviously.
Mm.
I think we're going to look at them and say maybe 2 of them were good hires.
And the others are just hires because they needed somebody.
Or just the wrong guy, or you took a shot in the dark and it didn't work, or things like that.
Another coach that was fired, Vance Joseph, after only 2 years as the Broncos head coach.
Deserved it.
Can't argue with you there, but apparently Elway wanted him gone after 1 year.
Elway wanted him gone after 6 games. Did you see Elway dressed up for that final Broncos game, by the way? Showed up black, like peacoat, black gloves. Just look like the hitman.
Or like he was going to a funeral or something like that.
Yeah, it just looked like he was there just like remember this moment.
Take out somebody. He finished 2018, the Broncos, with a whimper and a 6-10 record. Only 1 win better than in 2017 when they went 5-11. And a couple of coaching errors, I think, there that got scrutinized against the Texans and the Browns.
The field goal against the Browns, down 4. And it's just like, you can't do that.
And to be fair, he didn't have the best quarterback situation as well. Had a kind of a bit of a carousel with Paxton Lynch, Trevor Siemian, and even Case Keenum, as we kind of predicted, wasn't going to be at that same level.
I agree, but look, we know what the NFL is, which is it is a corrupt system run by where, like, people who are in the most power take it out on the people who they can blame instead.
Yeah.
And we know the issue with the Broncos is partially Vance Joseph, but it's mostly John Elway.
Absolutely, yeah.
And the reality is, like, the QB stuff, it sucks for Vance. It would have sucked for any coach. Vance did things that weren't great anyways. Like, he came in as a defensive coach. The defense wasn't fantastic.
Mm.
So I don't disagree with the firing, but obviously Elway needs to be under more of a hot seat than what he is right now.
Yeah. No, he hasn't been doing very well. But because he's John Elway, he gets a bit of a bit more leeway there. And another one that eventually came along, Marvin Lewis, finally fired after 16 years.
Well, I think the big news we have to talk about is who he's saying will be he's putting his vouch in for the next head coach.
Oh, has he come out and said?
He's already said that he publicly supports Hugh Jackson being the next head coach of the Browns.
For fuck's sake.
No, but can we just say, like, we've had 2 Bengals games with Baker against Hugh.
Yeah.
We've gotten The not going to shake your hand, the stare down the field, and then the literal hanging dong on the sideline when you threw a touchdown. Honestly, sign me up for four more years of this. How can Baker take that up like four more notches? It would be kind of fun at that point. But yeah, no, the Bengals are fucked.
This was one of those, I've said it before, I was convinced he had nudes of somebody and he was using them for blackmail.
Apparently like, it was Marvin Lewis.
How the fuck, like he finished 6-10 in 2018. Like, over the years, yeah, he did have a winning record with the Bengals. 131 wins, 122 losses.
So the one thing you would say, though,
but is 0-7 like, in the playoffs. That's the big one.
I agree, but like...
And spanked by the Steelers for the most part.
Yeah, but like, so, look, we're not talking about him in an all-time coach sense, obviously. But for the Bengals, for when he came in at the time when they were inept in the 90s and they were called the Bungles.
The Bungles, yeah.
It's big to have a guy like that who built a culture of... really playing hard and some good years by them. Like, I'm not trying to say that like they were ever like a Super Bowl contender, but he made them not irrelevant, which is like for what that team is going for there. Like, I think he deserves credit for keeping that going for a long time.
Yeah.
Again, his record in the playoffs will mean that people don't remember him favorably. I think for what he did for that team when they needed it, pretty Sarah good impact.
Purpose, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you said, the Browns, or Marvin Lewis has kind of hung his hat on the whole Hugh Jackson thing.
The next one you're going to tell me is the one that's going to piss me off.
Yeah, this one's an interesting one. Steve Wilks joins a small group of head coaches in the NFL that went one and done. There's only 15 head coaches in total. Interesting enough, Pete Carroll is one of them back in the day.
Yep.
He's doing all right now. But yeah, so one year...
So Steve Wilks
year,
is going to go coach USC and then...
Like, yeah, you probably thought they might give him one more year.
Well,
but the, when you look at, I'm just going to break down some of the rankings, right?
It's horrible.
Last in rushing, 84 yards per game.
Yep.
Last in points per game, 14.7. Last in passing yards, 158 per game, obviously resulting in a last in overall yards. Yeah.
Well, so this is the issue that I have with this is I don't think you could bring in a lot of coaches and have a lot of different results with that team. Because I think we've noted this watching this team all year is that it is a bare roster that they've put.
I feel bad
Josh Rosen.
I feel bad for Larry Fitz as well.
But poor Josh Rosen's body who just got fucking annihilated out of line. The thing that I come back to is like, you hired this guy this year knowing full well that you were going to draft a quarterback. And if you're going to fire him now to say, well, we need to bring in a guy who can actually develop a rookie quarterback, then why the fuck did you hire Steve Wilks then?
Yeah.
And that's my issue with this.
A defensive-minded guy.
Exactly.
He's like, not really going to have the skill set to be able to develop a rookie QB.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Is like, if that's the issue, bring in the offensive coordinator with him who you think can actually do that. Like, don't just bring in Steve Wilks and say, oh, well, you didn't nurture the offense. No shit. It's like bringing Mike Vrabel to the Titans and be like, you didn't develop Marcus Mariota.
Yeah,
like, no one would ever say that's a legitimate argument.
Was Byron Leftwich the offensive coordinator by the end of the year?
By the end of the year.
By the end
but
of the
Mike
year.
Mike McCoy was the one
that's
to
start
off.
And Leftwich is gone now as well, I think. I think they just cleaned up.
But this is why it's so ridiculous. It's just like, you're going to hire a guy and say, like, this is how we're going to fix Josh Rosen.
Mm.
The reality is you need to fix your offensive line.
Yeah.
Give Rosen more than a second to read. The guy's making good reads when he has a second to step back.
Not many weapons now.
Exactly. And this is the thing that like kind of bothers me. Is just like, I'm not on the side of saying I think Steve Wilks would have been a very good coach or anything. I have nothing to prove that like side. I'm just saying I think it happened so quickly that we have no idea how good of a coach he can be until you actually can surround that team with decent talent. To where I think it's just the consistent idea that is stupid, which is Steve Keim, the GM for the Cardinals. DUI over the summer. Lot of like media issues.
Mm.
Brings in Steve Wilks. I just want to make sure I didn't mess up the first name. And says, this is our guy. Stands by him. I picked him to be our guy.
Yeah.
After a year. Yeah, he's not our guy. And then just like fires him. But the GM stays.
Again, no accountability there for the GM, yeah.
Oh, and you think I'm going to be like okay with this? Wait till you get to number 8 on your list.
Number 7, Adam Gase fired after three
He'll be
years.
Hired in like 10 minutes.
He probably already hired by the time he finishes.
Well,
beer.
You heard the report that he could basically pick his job already.
Yeah. He went 23-25, having finished 7-9 there in 2018. Had the one playoff game in his first year, actually a wild card loss to the Steelers. Interestingly, owner Stephen Ross, they they were butting heads a little bit. Sounded like Ross wanted to hire or make a younger roster.
Yeah.
Whereas Gase was like, I'm in win now mode, and you know, there's only going to be one winner there. Ross got rid of him. But you think he's going to be picked up fairly quickly?
I think he, like, it just makes...
If you were to put money on it, where is Adam Gase going now? And as a head coach, yeah. I would imagine, yeah?
So
do you think he's got another head
coach? Definitely head coach. I would say it's the Jets.
Because he knows the division, or just...
No, it's just you say he's like a QB whisperer. You say this, like, he made Jay Cutler serviceable. He helped the corpse of Peyton Manning. You say, like,
Tannehill? He was, like, one of the worst-rated quarterbacks in the league. No, but
I think that... First of all, I looked at that offense. There was a lot of smart shit, and I think a lot of it is Tannehill.
Yeah.
I like what I've seen from Darnold, but I think he needs a competent coach to really coach him up. I think he needs a few more weapons, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, he is... fucking Darnold had so many injuries on the offensive side.
But the issue is, like, you run into this, and it was like what I was saying earlier with the college guys, is, like, how many other, like, hot shot offensive coaches do you think there are available right now? To where you're like, I honestly go for Adam Gase and see what a few years of development looks like.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's only two games under 500.
Yeah.
Not the absolute worst in the world.
No, and the thing is, like, also, like, if you're in the shoes of Sam Darnold, you had Todd Bowles, who's a defensive-minded coach. You had a very crap offensive coordinator.
Mm.
You can still look decent. Like, yeah. You can still go, like... The interceptions need to cut down, all the other things. Yeah. But, like, you just need better play calling that gives you more open guys.
Mm. And the players to throw to. Apart from Robbie Anderson, who the fuck is he throwing the ball to? Luckily, he had the Herndon.
Jermaine Kearse.
The tight end, Herndon has been a nice little find there. But apart from that, without Robbie Anderson, his stats are way down.
It was a whole lot of dump downs to Elijah McGuire at the end of the year.
Yeah, that too, yeah. And finally, Barry, congrats, you got your freedom.
Well, this Dirk is the
Cutter fired after 3 years.
This is the Bucks problem, though, is that we got partial freedom. And this is where I get annoyed when I'm saying that...
Because you want everybody going. Because you said this before. Get rid of them all. Yeah,
Jameis is a different argument. Like, I can understand.
No, but the GM, you want that GM everywhere.
But this is the issue. Is like, so the reports came out. Jason Light, the GM, is heading up the search for the new coach. And the problem is, you go through a system where the GM gets hired in, Jason Light, to a coach that he never hired, Lovie Smith. Fires Lovie Smith, brings up the guy he wants, Dirk Cutter, keeps him for 3 years.
Yeah.
Fires Dirk Cutter, and now going to bring in the new coach. After we have another losing record next year, we get rid of Jameis and Jason Light, and we keep this poor-ass coach who was brought in by a different GM, so that when we hire a new GM, this new GM looks at him and says, who the fuck are you? And fires him. And we just repeat the fucking cycle. And this is the issue to me, is like, I just think that so few franchises get this, is that the way that you win is that when your GM and your coach are tied at the hip.
They were
brought in together.
And
they support each other. This is Pete Carroll and John Schneider for the Seahawks. This is 100% what it is. And it's what kills me is that, like, so few franchises get that that's what needs to happen. They let these GMs stay for longer than coaches and say, you'll figure it out eventually. When at the end of the day, all that creates is a relationship where no one trusts each other.
Mm. Who do you want as the Bucs head coach?
I just want us to pay Jim Harbaugh a lot of money.
Okay. Would you have to... How much would you be willing to pay him?
$10 million a year.
$10 million a year.
It's not this is the thing that, like, with the coaches is like John Gruden's making $10 million a year right now. Like,
yeah,
and it doesn't count against the cap.
Yeah,
the Glazers are worth billions of dollars. Yeah, I don't care what they spend 10 or 5 extra million dollars on.
Yeah, because like these days, an average player is getting paid $10 million,
and that's
not really doing much for the team. Like,
well, and this is the issue now. It's just like, if you want to pull Jim Harbaugh out of Michigan, you have to pay him. If you want to get Brian Kelly out of Notre Dame, you have to pay him.
Here's a question for you: do you know what the Bucs' all time record is? Ballpark figure.
This is
depressing for you, so you might need to take a good swing at that.
I'm going to guess that we have like a 350 winning percentage.
I'm a biologist, so I'm not a mathematician, but I'd say you're fairly close. They are 260 wins,
okay.
415 losses.
So a total
and only
6,
one
70.
Tie, interestingly.
Oh,
enough.
Holy crap. No, I actually nailed that. That's actually 35%.
Is it? Yeah. On the button? Yeah. I'm looking at it saying you were fairly close, but that's quite impressive.
My God.
35%
would be 255 wins, I think. Like that. That's just horrible.
Horrendous. Hopefully the fortunes flip around for you and your books improve.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Right, that's our...
We're not taking a QB this year, so we'll see how it goes.
That's our coaching carousel chat for 2018 and 2019.
Are you in our weekly DraftKings fantasy football league? And if no, why the hell not? Because bragging rights and huge cash prizes are up for grabs this weekend and all season long at DraftKings, the leader in one-week fantasy sports. They paid out over $5 billion today. And this week, you can enter a contest for free on us with your first deposit. You choose when you want to play. There is no season-long commitment. You're the GM. Just pick your players from a 50K salary cap and see how your team stacks up against me and the boys and any other contest you're in. There's contests for all skill levels. So if you've been thinking about trying one day fantasy football, now is the time to play, because nothing makes football Sunday more exciting, believe me, than having a DraftKings lineup on the line. So go to DraftKings.com or download the app today. Use promo code Paddy, P-A-D-D-Y, to enter a contest and join our 75-player league. You can do that for free this weekend with your first deposit and compete for your share of cash prizes. That's code Paddy, only at DraftKings, the game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. So next up on this week's episode, we have our recap, or post-mortem, as I called it earlier on, of our preseason divisional rankings. So you were on the AFC episode, weren't you?
I was, and Jared was on the NFC.
Jared was on the NFC, but you had written down...
I will happily admit everywhere I was wrong in the NFC, though. Don't worry.
So we're going to start with AFC East. Do you want me to run down of...
I'm trying to remember this. I think I said...
See if you can remember.
I said it was Pats, and then I think I said Jets.
Yeah.
And then Dolphins, Bills?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you got it, yeah. I had the exact same.
I mean, basically, just put the Jets at the bottom of the order, and then we were kind of there. Yeah.
So in the end, yeah, it was Pats, Dolphins, yeah. Bills, Jets. One of those where everyone was shy.
And we knew this, too.
And like, the Pats were a little bit worse than normal.
We were talking about this, too. The Pats, the over-under for the season was 11, and we were like... let's just see what happens. We're like, they can just like back their way into it.
Yeah.
And played 11 horribly.
11-5, yeah.
They were 3-5 on the road this year and still finished 11-5.
Yeah. And they nearly still had somehow the number one seed and hometown advantage throughout
the
playoffs.
They're never dying, are they?
No, they're like a fucking weed, you know?
I know.
You slice them up a little bit and they just keep coming back. But fair play to them. They didn't really have the best year, but they're still in the hunt and, you know... No. If the Chiefs lose their divisional game,
anything's possible.
It's in fucking Foxborough then.
I know.
So, who knows? The Pats, like they say, they play football in January. That's when the Pats show up.
There's an amazing stat I heard about this. So, since 2012, no team has made the Super Bowl while having to play a game on the road in the playoffs.
Wow.
So, that was the Kaepernick Flacco Super Bowl. Ever since. The AFC has literally just been one seeds since.
All the way through, yeah.
And the NFC's been 4-1 seeds and 1-2 seed. So it's just like, if you're the Pats, this is literally what we're talking about, which is if you can play at home and the Chiefs blow that game,
you're almost a fucking shoe-in. History is on your side, yeah. And just to talk about the Bills a bit, Josh Allen, he's had a pretty good year, to be fair.
I've been really happy.
He's had some really good moments, like on the ground and passing as well. Even though his off-target throws or percentages has been a bit off, but he's had a good year.
It's awesome to see, though, because it's... we had five guys taking the first round, and we had various points of the year where we can get excited about all of them.
Mm.
It's nice that we're ending off the season and we're thinking positively about every single one of them. Really cool.
Anything is better than Nate Peterman.
No, I agree. But like the same point, like it's amazing to see that like we're not just thinking the one of them is a bust already.
Yeah. They've all had their moments. Yeah, fair play. You're dead on with that. Then we have the AFC North.
I will definitely look at this one. Okay, Steelers, Ravens.
We had the same.
Browns, Bengals.
Yeah.
It wasn't that off. We flipped the Ravens and the Steelers. The reality is like a Browns win and we're completely correct on this.
Yeah.
Which is like, this was a close division. The Steelers were way worse than we ever would have thought this year. Way more dysfunctional and everything. We never thought Le'Veon was going to skip the entire season.
Yeah, that's one of the caveats. We didn't really know that.
But at the same point, it's so much deeper than that. Like, we're seeing this now with the Antonio Brown stuff. It's just like,
he's a bag of shit.
I agree.
He's a shit human.
There's so many issues on that team, though. It's like, Ben's calling out random guys on the team every other day. Antonio Brown's talking about, like, I'm done. Le'Veon just never showed up to say anything. Like, there's issues overall with this team that, like, were way worse than we gave them credit for at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
That I think we really need to realize, like, this might be one more year and then you might blow it up.
Well, it's hindsight, really.
No, of course.
I did say that Ben's, just listening back to the episode, I did say Ben's window was starting to narrow.
Oh, yeah.
It's even fucking narrower now with all this going on.
I don't know if that's necessarily the Ben's window or the Steelers.
Yeah. I guess when I said Ben, it's kind of like the Steelers.
I'm totally with you on this, but it's like, you could totally see a scenario where in a year, like, because they're going to bring everyone back. Like, I don't care all this talk about, like, Antonio right now. They're going to bring Antonio back because the problem with the cap is that if you trade him, you only save $1 million in the cap versus if you trade him any other year, you save everything from his deal off the cap. So you're going to keep him this year because would you rather have a million in salary cap or Antonio Brown?
Obviously, that's a no-brainer.
Exactly. So you're going to keep Ben, you're going to keep Brown, you're going to keep Connor, you're going to have all these guys coming back. You're going to try to make an insanely good draft to make up for all the talent.
Mm.
But then the issue comes is that if you don't succeed next year, you as the Steelers should blow it up. Trade Antonio, ask the team if they want Ben for a fourth rounder, offload it, and just move on.
Change it up, yeah. Who have they got there? Mason Rudolph?
Yeah, no, that's not the answer.
Not happening. You had the Browns winning 5 or 6.
And you had 6 or 7.
I said possibly 6 or 7. So, fairness, we gave them credit and they they backed it up.
If only we had bet on them too by saying they would cover the Vegas over under 5.5.
Fuck, could have won a bit of money there.
I know.
AFC South, I did real bad on this. I also had the Jags going to the Super Bowl.
This was my call of the year. I will say that. I called the Jags not making the playoffs.
You did. And you said they were going to stink.
I also had the Titans winning the division, which is a different mistake altogether. And I had the Colts as last in the division. But I'm going to be proud about the Jags point for a second.
I just have a point here written down. I really fucked this one up. So
everyone fucked this up.
No. I had Jags, Texans, Titans, Colts.
Do you realize
all
they,
over the place?
Do you realize they had two teams in that division who made the playoffs, and they started 0-3 and 1-5?
Unbelievable.
Who was gonna call either of those teams making the playoffs?
Unreal. You had Titans, Texans, Jags, Colts. So yeah, we were all over the place, and obviously it was Texans, Colts, Titans, Jags in the end. So it's just one of those divisions we fucked up on.
We knew it was gonna happen.
Hold the hand up there.
AFC West, we got closer.
Yeah, AFC West. So I had Chargers, Raiders. Now, I did say...
You said Raiders second. I forgot that.
Yeah, but I said with Khalil Mack. Thank fuck I had that qualifier there. It's like, oh no, without Mack, my prediction goes out the window.
Oh, yeah.
And then Chiefs and Broncos, you had...
I should
you were close, man.
I should start saying that. 49ers to win the division with Joe Montana. I knew it.
Chargers, Chiefs, Broncos, Raiders.
Yeah.
Unlike the Chargers and Chiefs, didn't they finish with the same record in the end? 12-4.
They both finished 12-4.
But head to head. And yeah, it was Chiefs over Chargers, then Broncos, then Raiders.
Yep.
You had that the Raiders would be the punching bag of the AFC West, and you nailed it. You also called that the Chiefs pass defense looked fucking horrendous and would be horrendous
the entire year,
and they were one of the worst in the NFL.
I can't exactly give myself analyst credit on that one though.
Well,
no, I'm
saying what you see.
No,
you know,
100%,
and they were terrible.
Yep.
Right, we'll move on to the NFC. So on this episode, Jer was on with me.
Yep.
But you had written down what you thought.
Mm-hmm.
I also have what Jer said, so we'll start off NFC East. I had Eagles. I had Giants second, but I said they'd only be second because the Cowboys... be second if the Cowboys were shit.
Yep.
Redskins. Jer had the same. Eagles, Giants, Cowboys, Skins.
So I had Eagles, Redskins, Giants, Cowboys.
Cowboys last.
I was confident the Cowboys were going to be like 4-12 or 5-11 this year.
Wow.
Obviously, we were completely correct. the Cowboys missed the playoffs. Oh, sorry, there. Yeah, they're in.
In a dream world, that's how it'd be. Yeah, well, Cowboys are first.
The real dream is watching them lose on a bullshit penalty to Russell Wilson.
That would be a close second as well, to them missing the playoffs completely. Then Eagles, Skins, Giants, that's how it finished up. I overestimated my Giants. We both underestimated the Cowboys.
Yep.
So we got this one badly wrong. The Redskins could have been in the mix.
I feel fine about where I put them in the idea that, like, if Alex Smith did not horrendously break his leg, like, anything's possible there.
I And Colt McCoy too. Jesus, what a fucking bad run.
And then
there.
Mark Sanchez. Oh,
my God. Josh Johnson, to be fair.
No, I know.
Good. He's supposed to be playing in the American Alliance Football League or whatever it is.
That is a feel-good story for sure.
Yeah, fair play to him. It was so long since he played in the NFL. The picture, I remember looking at him on DraftKings one day. The picture they had for him was him still in a Giants jersey.
Oh.
And that was like 3 or 4 years before. That's how long it had been.
It's ridiculous.
But yeah, he did a pretty good job, to be fair to him,
again,
when he came
like,
in.
It was a gutsy performance from everyone, but it's just one of those things where, like, sadly, it just wasn't meant to work out.
So I'm going to give myself big ups in your division here, the NFC South.
So I called this the same as you did.
Actually. Oh, you did?
So I knew we were finishing dead last. I knew that one.
And the Saints were more than likely going to finish top.
Win,
so
yeah.
It was like the one or two in between.
Exactly.
So Saints, Falcons, Panthers, Bucks. That's how it finished. Jer, in fairness, he wasn't far off. He had the Falcons winning, then the Saints.
Then the Panthers,
Panthers
and the
Bucks.
Yeah.
That's the only one
I mean,
I got fully
correct. To Jer's credit, the Falcons had about as bad of injury luck as you can imagine.
Yeah, a lot of injuries on defense.
So
yeah.
They're the team that like is going to be that. Because we always had this, like every year there's like 4 or 5 like random teams that are near the playoffs that weren't anywhere close the year before.
Yeah.
And the Falcons are going to be one of them next year. Which is, if they can get that offense to stay healthy, they're going to have a really good draft pick right now. They could be really scary next year.
Yeah, they just got to tidy things up a little bit.
Stay healthy.
They have some good pieces there. They just got to keep the guys on the field and they'll probably do a lot better. Then we have the NFC North. So we just listening back in the episode, we did say this was a fucking tough one because...
Yeah, so mine is identical to Jer's looking at this list too.
So I had Vikings, Packers, Bears, and Lions. I did give the Bears credit. I said they're more than likely going to pick up a few more wins.
Yep. Totally right.
This was before the Mac trade as well, I think, so that even boosted them even more. Jer had Vikings, Packers, Lions, and Bears. So you still had the Bears finishing last.
Yeah, so I did.
Again, before the Mac trade,
sure,
though, right?
I mean... The problem is, like, you could have told me the Khalil Mack trade, and I still probably wouldn't have believed they were going to make the playoffs.
Mm.
I just didn't think that, one, that there would be so much interior pressure from their D-tackles, like Akeem Hicks, to make Mack matter that much.
And Eddie Jackson on the back end as
and
well.
That, and,
has been
just
fucking
phenomenal.
Fantastic. And even, like, lesser guys, like Prince Amukamara, rent a corner as Chris Weston calls him.
Great.
Fairness, he's been doing
all
right.
And then
like,
we have the revival of Danny Trevathan. Like, we're having a lot of things in the defense that make sense.
A lot of guys coming back that we kind of thought were on the back nine of their career. Now, all of a sudden, they're contributing to a really good defense.
No, 100%.
Jer said the Lions could shock the world and finish second. So he's not here to defend himself. But
I mean, to be fair, I also did a podcast where I said the Lions could sneakily make a playoff spot. So.
And then we realized...
Good old Matt Patricia just...
Then we realized Matt Patricia was coaching.
I know.
And we'll finish off the NFC West. I had Rams, 49ers, assuming Jimmy G wouldn't mangle his knee.
Yep.
Hawks, Cards. Interestingly, Jer had the Hawks finishing last.
So this is the one point where I will say I was much more confident in the Seahawks than you guys were before the season.
What was the bet we had again?
So we had this. I gave you an over-under of 7. And you said you wanted to be bumped to a 7.5 so you could have the under
of
7.
Yeah.
We disagreed. We ended up not making the bet.
Well,
Seahawks finished with 10 wins.
You were definitely high on the Seahawks.
I just remember hearing you guys saying that they would finish up with like 3 or 4 wins. And I texted you, I'm like, you're fucking crazy. And it's just the reality is like, they turned out way better than I could have ever imagined with a running game. But it just comes down to the idea. It's a fourth quarter. It matters. It's Russell Wilson. He just has a knack for making plays. And they just have a strange knack for winning every primetime game they're in.
Yeah.
That it's just like, it's a scary thing to bet against sometimes.
He balls out when it matters.
I know.
You got to give it to him. So this just kind of summarizes how much, you know, shit can change in the NFL.
Of course.
You can look at the odds. You can look at who's really strong on paper. And then September kicks in
and then you're instantly
happen,
screwed.
And then everything goes to shit.
100%.
But like, that's the beauty of the game. You just never fucking know.
Again, the parity is an all-time high, and that's what's always fun about this.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So we look like idiots now, but you know, at the time we were making those predictions, we had our reasons for making them.
We believed in all of them. Even the Lions.
Yes, even the Lions. So that's our post-mortem for our preseason divisional rankings. We're going to finish off the episode with our preview of the wildcard games.
Born to be wild.
Right, we're going to finish off this week's episode with the game preview. So wildcard weekend. Saturday game sees the first game on Saturday sees the number 6 Colts at divisional foes, the number 3 Texans. That is on at 4:35 Eastern time. The over-under is 48.5. Texans are 1.5-point favourites. So I guess we can kind of adopt a 2-point conversion approach here. So, Barney, yeah. How do you see this one going?
Well, so I see the Colts winning this game. I'm actually going to be very road-heavy on these predictions. I don't think the road matters as much in the wild card game as much as it does it for that bye, because I think the team just gets so much more rest anyways.
Mm. And
the Colts have played the Texans tough twice. This is a very simplistic way to say this game, but it's going to come down if Quentin Nelson, Ryan Kelly, Braden Smith, all these guys, Anthony Costanzo, can hold back Clowney, J.J. Watt, and give Andrew Luck time, Colts are going to roll this game. The way that the Texans win this game is getting to Luck, getting themselves out the field early, and letting Deshaun have time. This is not going to, if it is a shootout, like if it goes over that 48.5, the Colts are winning the game. It's not going to be the Texans. The Texans win a game if it's 23-20, not 35-30.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the Colts, they've been red hot since starting 1-5, as you mentioned earlier on. I think I remember hearing they're only the second team in history to go to the playoffs having started 1-5. So that's pretty impressive.
The other part that's fun, so kind of one thing we were talking about doing with this is like for each of these games also, we're both giving our predictions. I'm also going to add on the here's the reason why your team won't win the Super Bowl with these two, and we'll do this for each of the matchups.
Okay.
So the reason why the Texans will not win the Super Bowl, Deshaun Watson was sacked 62 times this year. In the history of the NFL, there have only been 9 times that a QB has been sacked 60 or more times. None of those times has that team even won a playoff game, let alone gone to the Super Bowl.
Was one of those David Carr?
Oh, two of them were David Carr. I'm not even kidding.
Also at the
it
Texans.
It was 02 and 05. Poor guy has the record with 72.
Like, he was their first ever draft pick, wasn't he? From the franchise.
And then they forgot to draft the line.
It's a tale of two offensive lines, really, because last year, the Colts' offensive line was one of the worst in the league,
and
they've had a complete turnaround.
But again, this is the beauty of what one draft can do, is like, you bring in Quentin Nelson, you bring in Braden Smith, you bring in Darius Leonard on the defense. Things get better when you have cheap guys who can make huge impacts. Mm. And here's the reason why the Colts won't win, is what we just alluded to, is that they are too young. In the history of the Super Bowl, only two teams have been younger than the Colts and won the Super Bowl. The 2014 Pats, which were 25.4 years old on average.
Jesus.
And the 2013 Seahawks, 25.3. The
Colts at 25.6 are very... Barry has none of this written down, but
this is purely the alcohol talk.
This is all from the top of the dome here, so this is very, very impressive. I'm extremely impressed with that feat of memory that you've got.
We'll see how it keeps going.
Yeah. I also had the Colts winning a road win here to start off wild card weekend.
You just have to like Andrew Luck in this game.
Yeah, and he has the hot hand. He's got the squirrel oil.
And T.Y. Hilton, especially if you want to do like Daly or anything like that, T.Y. Hilton just feasts the Texans.
Mm. I think if they shut down Hopkins, if the Colts defense can shut down Hopkins.
I was actually going to do the opposite.
Because he's like the main outlet, though.
Oh, 100%.
Right?
I don't think
catches everything. Zero drops.
Which is
all year. Unbelievable.
I think that you can't stop him, is more of my thought. Which is what I mean, though, is that now you don't have Demaryius. Now Kiki Coates hurt.
Mm.
If you can neutralize the other options and then double DeAndre, that's where you make life really hard for Deshaun. Is focus on the idea that like you're going to have two people on DeAndre. You're not going to stop him. No one can stop him. And I fully believe it. You could triple team DeAndre Hopkins. He would still find a way to get catches. If you can stop Deshaun from looking anywhere else as a reliable option, that's where you're going to win the game.
Fair enough. He is an unbelievable wide receiver.
Oh, my God.
His catch and radius.
I mean, top two?
Oh,
three?
Yeah. Easily, yeah. He just catches everything. And I just read earlier on, he's donating his playoff game check
to the family of that poor seven-year-old
girl there that was killed only a few days ago. So hats off to Hopkins for that. It's a real nice touch.
Yeah, no, it's just really great to see those guys who are all equally grounded when they can be at that deep wide receiver position.
Absolutely, yeah. So we both have the Colts winning there. Road win. the late game on Saturday night, the number 5 Seahawks are in Jerry World to face the number 4 ranked Cowboys. That's 8:15 Eastern. Over under, this one's 43. Cowboys 2-point favorites. So I'll get us cracking on this one.
Yep.
This is one of those games where it's two good teams that play good defense and they run the ball well. Ezekiel Elliott has been, you know, doing Ezekiel Elliott things all year.
Yep.
Seahawks, though, are actually the best rushing team in the league. But interestingly enough, they're fucking shite at stopping the run. So they're ranked 30th in the league. So I reckon this could be a game for Ezekiel Elliott to have a big day. The other thing is, though, I just trust Russell Wilson more.
Yeah.
Like, when the lights are on and it's a big game, Russell Wilson just shows up and Dak Prescott's an unknown quantity in a playoff game.
Yep.
And the Cowboys have that rich tradition of choking in the playoffs. It's just a case of trust for me. And I trust
that it's Russell Wilson is going to get the job done. You're going to keep trusting him.
Yeah, exactly. I just cannot trust the Cowboys to win a,
playoff
game. Until they win one,
it's just not going to happen.
So on Wildcard Weekend Saturday, I've got the two road teams winning here.
Same here. The reason why is that the last time they played, Chris Carson and Zeke combined for 48 carries. This is going to be a slugging, running, old school, brutal football game to watch.
Like, north to south, just
if you want to watch a really fun game, this is not it. This is a brutal game to watch. And the idea that people are going to hurt each other, it's going to be very slow, methodical. The reason that I like the Seahawks is what you point out, which is it's the fourth quarter, I need to play. Which QB do I trust more? And which coach do I trust more? I trust Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson way more than I do Jason Garrett and Dak Prescott. And again, to add on to this, why neither team is going to win the Super Bowl, the Cowboys have the 20th ranked offense this year. There's only been one team ever to have a worse ranked offense and win the Super Bowl. Your beloved 07 Giants. In addition, the Seahawks, this is where the Giants are really fun. There's only been one 5 seed in the last 28 years, since they made the current version of 6 teams in the playoffs. One 5 seed that has actually won the Super Bowl. The 07 Giants.
Interesting.
So your beautiful fluke of a team in this era is a great reason why neither of these teams is actually going to win. And the idea that it has been done once out of 52 times.
Wow. That's serious. That's again, no notes in front of you. All off the top of the head. Very impressive. So you've got the Hawks winning too. Just because you
both
trust them.
I trust them for the play. And the reality is also if they can establish the run, it makes Russell's life so much easier.
Yeah. And he's great at scrambling. He can make the plays.
Yep.
Baldwin's coming back. The last couple of weeks, Baldwin has kind of shown up. He's had a few injury concerns. But even Tyler Lockett, they have their gadget player as well. And David Moore, you know, they just have a couple of weapons there that I think will get them over the line. Then we're going on to Wild Card Weekend's the Sunday edition.
Mm-hmm.
The number 5 Chargers on the road at the number 4 Ravens. That's at the regular time of 1:05 Eastern.
Yep.
Over under in this, low one, 41.5. Ravens, 2.5-point favorites.
Yeah, I'm amazed by that over under, by the way. Because these are two teams that can definitely put up points.
Mm.
And you're just what Vegas is saying is that these two teams are just going to clash defensively.
Yeah. And kind of nullify each other's offense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what do you think happens here?
Who have I got winning?
Yep.
It's overcome. Well, going to get into the last game, but in this one, I've got the home team winning. I've got the Ravens.
I can see it.
I know Rivers, he has the playoff experience, but I just think that since Action Jackson has gotten the keys to the car since the bye week, he's just kind of lit a fire underneath, and you can see a buzz in a team. I just see that buzz with the Ravens at the moment. Their defense is flying all over the place. He's leading by example as well.
100%.
He's made some fucking fantastic plays. He's 6-1. He could almost be 7-0 if it wasn't for that crazy fourth down throw from Mahomes.
Yep.
I said at the start of the year, someone asked me what I thought of the Ravens. I said, if the Ravens have a losing record at the bye week, he's going to be the starting quarterback. But I also said he's going to have to adapt to the pro game. But
he hasn't yet, really.
He hasn't, but he has that raw ability.
No, I agree.
Where he could take a run pass option and take it 25 yards to the house
or throw
touchdown.
60 yards.
Yeah, he's very, very impressive.
This is the game that I wish wouldn't happen because I wish these teams could both move on to the next round. because they're both such complete teams. I'm going to go with the Chargers because I think that when you believe a team is great for a regular season, and I think we have five teams that we would call great for this year. The Patriots, because we have to always call them that.
Yep.
The Saints, the Rams, the Chiefs, in my opinion, the Chargers. I think if you are a great team, you do not lose twice to the same team. Unless they're also part of that category.
So great teams learn from their mistakes.
And adapt and mature.
Fair point.
And again, if they lose, then I'm completely wrong. They're not. Like it's the greatest evidence. The other point that's interesting, do you know Philip Rivers has never lost in the first round of the playoffs?
Really?
Never lost. Every time he's a wild card, moves on to the divisional.
Wow. How many times?
I think it's four remember? At this point. I could be wrong.
So history, you're going with Rivers, experience, history is on his side. You have no reason to vote against him.
I really like this Chargers team, and I think that they're gelling at the right time. Again, the biggest attractor is just how does Melvin Gordon's health turn out?
Yeah, because on that any day, he's like one of the top five running backs.
I know.
Like you in fantasy land, he would have been one of the top drafted running backs 100%. In the league.
Yeah.
After fucking Le'Veon and who else?
He was right up there.
He would have been one of the top ones. You did say that good teams adapt and generally don't lose again to that team. In week 16, the Chargers and Philip Rivers were held to only 181 passing yards.
No, that's what I'm saying.
So the Ravens defense is good enough to stop really good quarterbacks.
We have no doubts about how good that defense is. I just trust that if the Chargers offense is as dynamic as we've been making it sound all year, whether it is making sure Melvin does more because Melvin wasn't doing it much that game, or just Rivers having a better performance, something is going to change. By the way, the news that Hunter Henry could be playing...
No way.
You didn't hear this?
No, I didn't
they
hear
said
it.
He's back
was that today,
from,
was it?
No, no. This is earlier this week. They say he's back from his ACL. And he's going to play in the divisional. He's going to play in the wild card game.
Holy shit.
Like, amazing.
I had no idea that happened.
I know. So, the last point here before we move on is...
That's big, because Gates is...
No, I know. He's a shell of
Hall
himself.
Of Famer.
But yeah, but a shell of this one. Yeah. No, what are you going to expect? He's like 37, 38. Now, why neither of these teams are going to win the Super Bowl? Chargers... have allowed 63 big plays this year. Now, a big play they define as 20 yards or more.
Yeah.
There's only been two teams in the history of Super Bowl winners who have allowed more big plays. The 2014 Pats, 64, and the 2011 Giants, 71. And for the Ravens, the issue is that they allow touchdowns on 63% of red zone possessions. Now, this is not comparing to a like Super Bowl team in a historical sense, but it's more of the idea that it's a funny paradox, which is the Ravens have a great scoring defense, which means they just don't let people get in the red zone.
Mm.
But once you're there, it's easy to score against them.
Interesting stat, all right, yeah. Last game, Sunday, number 6, Philadelphia Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
On the road to the number 3, Chicago Bears. That's at 4:40 Eastern time.
Yep.
Over under in this one again, a low one, 41. Bears are 6-point favorites. I'll get us rolling here.
Let's do it.
Big Dick Nick. You gotta hand it to him.
Do you need any other explanation? Yeah. We're done. We got it.
Jer sent us a picture earlier on and it was I don't know.
Two women carrying a long just
schlong. Yeah, and it was like Big Dick Nick walking into Soldier Field on Sunday. His number has been called twice now in the last 2 years. When we all thought that he was, but done 100%. As a pro football quarterback. And he gets in the second time of asking at the expense of the Vikings and their $84 million quarterback. He is battling a rib injury, though. I think he got knocked around a little bit. And he is going up against a fucking tough defense.
I know. So
Khalil Mack is going to be flying off the edge there looking to hurt Nick Foles.
So this is the thing. Fully believe that he's going to feel okay. And this game is going to come down to how quickly can he get the ball out and who can guys make the Bears tacklers miss.
So you reckon like someone like Sproles, like getting quick hits out to Sproles, get him involved?
It's all about, so the key game, if I were the Eagles, I would analyze, is the Packers game from week one, which is Rodgers is limited on a bad knee. Came back in the second half and just thrashed them. But if you look at that game, it's not Rodgers dancing around the pocket for 20 seconds like we're all accustomed to. This is Rodgers taking the ball, knowing who to throw to, quick shot.
Yeah.
And what it did is it tired the fuck out of Khalil Mack. It tired the crap out of Leonard Floyd. All Roquan Smith. And again, like week one helped in these guys weren't in perfect playing shape.
Yeah.
But it applies to any D line. It's what Brady does so well is that if you get the ball out quickly, that D-line gets tired. Mm. The second the D-line gets tired, you get to relax in the pocket. You get to expand the field. And it's all about how well can Nick Foles do those quick routes early in the game to just wear them down. Now, the reason why I'm going to say this pick is not because I believe in it, but because when I picked against the Eagles all the time last year, they won, which I would love to happen again. So I say Bears because I don't believe in it, but I want Nick Foles to win.
Okay.
But realistically, if we're playing this and we're not talking about the Nick Foles hype, the Bears should win, but the Eagles are going to win.
Okay. I mentioned Foles has hurt ribs. The Bears have their own injury concerns at the wide receiver spot.
Poor Anthony Miller.
Miller dislocated his shoulder, but looks, so I've been there. That's a fucking horrible type of pain.
He did it while running, which is the bad sign. It just popped out just by running.
Mine happened blocking a guy. I didn't land on it. It's just the force of me actually blocking it.
But that would make sense that there's a force. Yeah. Imagine just running and your shoulders shock out.
Very strange one. So he's more than likely out.
Yeah, no, he's definitely out.
He's definitely out. Allen Robinson, he's been hurt on and off all year.
And
Taylor Gabriel, the last time I checked, was questionable.
So we know the key to Trubisky, which is if you can get ahead on the Bears early, and that's what the Eagles are going to try to do. They're going to try to be super aggressive early. If you can get up on the Bears early, that's how you beat them. You don't beat them by coming from behind and making them get to advantageously blitz you the entire time. You get ahead early and make them play from behind, make Trubisky have to make plays, make the defense desperate, and make them make mistakes. That's how this game has to go. And I fully believe that Foles can do it. But it just, if it doesn't work in the first quarter, it's not going to work. It's not going to be a 14-point comeback that Foles somehow does. They need to be up early and hold it.
Okay, so we both got the Bears winning?
We both do. Okay. Now, two reasons why they won't win the Super Bowl for both.
Here we go. Teams.
The Bears have a quarterback who we know can be a little volatile. So for the season, Trubisky had under an 85 passer rating, which is not great. I think 70 is around average. In the playoffs, when a QB has a passer rating of under 85, his record in the last 15 years, his record is 53-115.
Jesus.
Which is kind of unbelievable.
Yeah.
So that's what Trubisky averages. So it's not looking great there. For the Eagles, there has never been a Super Bowl winner who has allowed more yards per game than they have. And we know this. That secondary is super beat up.
Yeah.
It is not good.
They're getting guys off the street at this stage.
Exactly. And like as a result of that, like if you're going to say, why would the Eagles lose? It's their defense.
Secondary, yeah.
100%.
Okay. Nice stats there. That rounds it off for our wild card weekend predictions. We had the same picks for 3 out of 4 games.
Yep. We differed on the Chargers.
You got the Chargers winning. We're going to wrap up the episode with our... This is good.
I really enjoyed it.
I'm not just saying that because the missus got it for me. It's quite good. Maine Beer Company in Freeport, Maine. Definitely going to have to go up there and check it out.
For sure.
Maybe they'll host us for like a live podcast or something.
The next draft, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Another one it's called. And it's an Indian Pale Ale. 7%. What are you giving it?
I'm going to give it an 8.
Okay.
I was pretty happy with it.
What are you docking the 2 for?
It's not hoppy enough. And it's a bit of the bottle size is that I think you get a little tired of the flavor by the end of it.
Okay.
Like, because it's a lot of it to, like, take in. Like, it was a very enjoyable drink, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Like, it eats, like, a very, like, pleasant experience.
Yeah. For me, I'm going to give it a little bit higher. I'm going to give it an 8.6. Ooh. Now, I'm on that side as well where I
this might
prefer...
be one of the few times where you've rated higher than me. You're usually just like the cranky old bitch when it comes
to beers. Yeah, I am. Yeah, but I don't know what it is. Like, normally I like more hops in it as well, just like you. But for some reason, whatever concoction they've got going on here is pretty good. It works for me. Freeport, man. Definitely going to have to go up and check that out. So 8 and an 8.6, so 8.3. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Adding in the 8s, I think, normally.
We haven't had too many in the 8s.
It's a pretty good beer, yeah. Right, Barry, thanks very much for coming on.
Always a pleasure.
Our first episode of 2019. Hopefully we'll have Jer back. He's still in Ireland, but hopefully we'll have him back for next week's episode. So
where you can talk to us about the tales of Big Nickus Dickus.
Yes, absolutely. So thanks very much, dude.
Always a pleasure.
And that will do it for episode 52 of Paddy Pigskin, our first of 2019. Thanks very much for coming back with us to join us to listen to some football chat as we go into the wildcard weekend. As always,
appreciate the support on all the different social media channels. We had lots of giveaways there in the lead up to Christmas. Really popular. Lots of people won some great shit. So thanks very much for taking part in those. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, that's where you can find us. To all the people that gave us reviews, both on the social media pages and on iTunes and all those sort of places, very much appreciate that as well. We always enjoy hearing feedback and the support that everybody gives us. So episode 52 was in the books, Paddy Pigskin. Tune in next time where, as always, we will have less slant and more slantcha. Take care. Tell me if you fuck it, cause it's backups if you're not. I'm just flexing, too hard. Threesome session, two bros. Every time I step out, shit lit. I just bought in Heisman, you bitch. Boy, them trying to catch me with the shooters. Snow, I'm down to catch one if you shoot us. And no more putting shooters in the Uber. Cause they can't hop back in it when they. All I wanna do is go out trapping with the shooters. Wrist game froze, you should see the way we do it. Sexy little bitch, you throwing titties out the window. You from out of town, but you know what we get into. All I wanna do is go out trapping with the shooters. Wrist so froze, you should see how I maneuver. Shorty say she down and up and flex with all the shooters. Shorty, all you down to get ahead of all my shooters. I came in, I just pulled up with the slab. She don't know her father, but her mama call me dad. Go designer shopping, copy fucking up the town. Rich for my chance, just thick as fuck, I had to brag. Harleys, diamonds, homie. Don't it get you horny? It's late, but I can't leave, it's lit. Rolling, tied down, my shit legit. Police trying to catch me with the shooters. You not from the ends, you cannot fool us. I caught a felony and beat that shit the next week. I stack it tall, Lisa Leslie. Cause all I wanna do is go out trapping with the shooters. Wrist game froze, you should see the way we do it. Sexy little bitch, you throwing titties at the window. You from out of town, but you know what we get into. All I wanna do is go out trapping with the shooters. Wrist so froze, you should see how I maneuver. Shorty say she down and up and flex with all the shooters. Shorty, all you down to get ahead of all my shooters are.